Blog Talk Radio.
Magic wand, it's on your fire, home with my palm, dislocate your arm, hit it silently, the scene calm, through the eyes of
Vietnam, filled with young minds designed to be curious. Soldier, where's your war paint? Situation getting serious. New cop, new Glock, government issue new positions to take the guards off the earth is what the devil's wishing. You won't last with religion, it deals with division. A law's all united, we stand, son. Divided, we fall. Throw a mic through a stage floor and hear the crowd roar. Pandemonium, killer arms selling out stores. Alcoholic beverages, white boys sweating from their pores. Screaming hip hop is what we're living for. A law sees everything, everything. A law sees everything, everything.
Hey yo, what's today's mathematics, son? You can't quote. You get your throat chopped by the sword I possess in my palms. It's coming down like napalm bombs to cause explosions. Now you're frozen, 32 below the equator. Cause you savor the flavor that the guard branded on your dome. With the microphone, that's multiple like a lifesaver. Coming from all angles to hit your pressure points in your joints like a chiropractor. To leave you paralyzed. Going down the ass crack. So where we at? We in the middle of a war zone. Black politically, world life. You better open your eyes and realize the game plan. That the Caucasian man got mastered, and you only playing with one man left on the battlefield. So grab your steel and your shield and stand firm. Put your guard you now, to guard you right now. Cock back and all safety with one in the head. Enough said.
Yeah, poetic, extremely urgent materials. Hit the streets and made a criminal's imperial. My ego floor fat like a testicles. I'm a killer without a cereal. Splitting poison to stars, yeast to chalk, attack the heart. Undisplayed sharks in the dark. Visionist liver sits with a pen that's poisonous. Deadly venoms to ink that'll drill them. Stick them, peel them, reveal them, and kill them like the pilgrims. Challenging the executioner, you must be stupider than Jupiter. I turn your ass into stone like Medusa. Nighttime edition with our vision. LCs are prisoners, the stages of the prison. Light prince rewarded, mine is made of platinum. I fear millions of civilians. I'm flown like water skiing through the region. Living for Avenger with a two-shot Dillinger. Prime Minister Avenger. Plotting assassination with a desert eagle silencer.
A law sees everything. A law sees everything. A law sees everything.
Islam. Tonight we have a excellent show for you. Before we get started, I'm Grand Sheik Aileen Bey of Temple Number 2 of the Morris Holy Temple of Science of the World from out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. And we have my co-host coming on tonight, my brain command. Bear with me. Brother L, Grand Sheik, getting ready to bring you on. Just bear with me. Here we come. Grand Sheik, are you there?
Islam, God.
Islam, how you doing today?
Doing very well, very well. How's the Grand Sheik
doing? I'm doing well. Just busy trying to get this show going, and I'm trying to keep things in perspective here. And now we're going to try to get into the Revealers of Light. And we're going to go to Chapter 2, the Education of Mary and Elizabeth in Zoan, Egypt.
right.
You go to the 8th verse. It states that from olden times it was ordained that you should be with us. And in this sacred school be taught. Elihu and Salome told Mary and Elizabeth out to the sacred grove. Took them out to the sacred grove nearby where they were wont to teach. Elihu said to Mary and Elizabeth, you may esteem yourselves thrice blessed, for you are chosen mothers of long-promised sons.
Mm.
All right? It goes on to the 11th verse, and it says, who are ordained to lay a sacred rock, a sure foundation stone on which the temple of the perfect man shall rest, a temple that shall never be destroyed. 12, we measure time by cycle ages, and the gate to every age we deem a milestone in the journey of the race. 13. An age has passed. The gate of another age flings open at the touch of time. Of course, it says, this is the preparation age of soul, the kingdom of Emmanuel, of Allah and man. 14. And these, your son, will be the first to tell the news, to teach the gospel of good will to men and peace on earth. 15. A mighty work is there, for carnal men want not the light. They love the dark, and when the light shines in the dark, they comprehended it not. 16. We call these sons revealers of light, but they must have the light before they can reveal the light. Once again, we call these sons revealers of light, but they must have the light before they can reveal the light.
Mm-hmm.
Right. 17. And you must teach your sons to set their souls on fire with love and holy zeal, and make them conscious of their mission to the sons of men. 18. Teach them that Allah and man are one, but that through courtly thought and words and deeds, man tore himself away from Allah. He based himself. 19. Teach the holy breath will make them one again, restoring harmony and peace. 20. That not can make them one but love. That Allah is love the world, that he holds his son in flesh that man can comprehend. 21. The only Savior of the world is love, and Jesus, Son of Mary, comes to manifest the love to men. 22. Now love cannot be manifest until its way has been prepared, and not can render rock and bring down lofty hills and fill the valleys up, and thus prepare the way for purity. 23. The purity in life men do not comprehend, and so it too must come in flesh. 24. And you, Elizabeth, are blessed because your purity made flesh, and he shall pave the way for love. 25. This age will comprehend but little of the works of purity and love, but not a word is lost, for in the book of Allah, remember it, a registry is made of every thought and word and deed. 26. And when the world is really to receive, no, Allah will send a messenger to open the book and copy from the sacred pages all the messages of purity and love. 27. That every man on earth will read the words of light in the language of his native land, and man will see the light and walk in the light and be the light. 28. And man again will be at one with Allah. Now,
yeah.
It's one thing to read it, and then, of course, come away with the interpretation that this is talking about just Mary and Elizabeth and their sons, Jesus and John the Baptist. But this goes further than that. It is teaching you how to become the perfected man. The perfect man. That's what he's saying. The temple of the perfect man. And that he was merely stones. Matter of fact, it speaks of in the scriptures that the stone that the builder refused would be the head cornerstone. Many just take that to be Jesus because Jesus symbolizes the perfected man. But people don't understand that that was a story told in order to get you to reach that point through the metaphors, through the particular degrees, through the particular initiation, through the trials and tribulations, for you to reach that ultimate level, the kingdom of Emmanuel, of Allah in man. Because this is the preparation age of the soul. We're now in the age of the soul. In other words, we've now come out of the age of the fish, which is Pisces, astrologically, and we're going into the age of Aquarius. All right? We know that there's a book in which that is very similar to the Morse would come out of chapter 7, in which that was written by Levi County, in which that states, or what is called, the Aquarian Gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is not revealed is that he was a spiritualist. He was also a Rosicrucian. Well, the Holy Prophet Noble Dry Leaf also a spiritualist, but also a Rosicrucian. And they get their book from the same place, which is the Rosicrucian Infinite Wisdom Lessons, and partially into a book called Unto B.I. Grant. This is where this information stems from, and regardless, all of this information is talking about those who study the ages, astrological ages, because it says we measure time by cycle ages. You know that Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, speaks of a holy Quran being 50,000 years, or a renewal of history, 25,000 years renewal of history. All right? We understand that to be 25,000 years renewal of history. You know that when the sun and the solar system journeys through the 12 zodiac signs, as well as also through the Pleiades, as well as also through the Sirius, it takes approximately 25,000 years or so. All right? When it is measured, 25,928 years to be right and exact, as some would say. But that 25,000 years is equivalent to a holy Quran. This is called a holy Quran because of its information in which that is measured by, measured time by cycle ages. And the gate to every age we deem a milestone in the journey of the race. What is the race supposed to reach and aspire towards? It tells us here, the kingdom of Emmanuel, of Allah in man. How do you reach it? It says, teach the holy breath, we make them one again, restore harmony and peace. So the way in which that you become the perfected man to reach the kingdom of Emmanuel, of Allah in man, is through the holy breath. And we spoke about this last week, so we're continuing with that analysis. You know, many want to say, well, let's say, what is the holy breath? And many don't have a full understanding of it, because they're still coming from a aspect of just reading and taking things literally, historically, instead of looking at things esoterically. Because this is actually what this is. This is esoteric teaching.
Yeah.
It's not only esoteric teaching, but its primary source is esoteric information. Now, we can do that. We can talk about that if you go to the 101 you go to the 50th question and answer, what other names do we have for gift of truth? It says Holy Bride, 51. What have you to say about the Holy Bride? Or we can say it is great, it is good, it was, it is, and evermore to be. Amen. So, what is truth? So, in order for you to stand righteously, to stand truthfully, in other words, to stand in the laws of Mayat as being an Egyptian of death, you must learn the signs of the Holy Bride. Because it is great, it is good, it was, it is, and evermore to be. So, you must master the signs of breathing. Men who are the sons of the beginners of life understand this completely. You understand that we are dealing with these particular sciences that we must practice, not just talking. Many just want to talk. Many want to debate.
Mm-hmm.
Many want to get at me and just say that, well, brother, you debated Brother Harrison and Teddy. Well, number one, that was really 5 years ago. That's number one. And that was because me and Brother Harrison and Teddy already spoke about these particular issues on three different radio shows beforehand. So we have a pretty good place from where we were coming from. However, when the issue was taken up and I explained that the caption or the subtitle was not given to me because it was been Sorrow Shooting Steady, Arlene Bay versus Sorrow Shooting Steady, the final showdown, Teachings of the Moors. They changed the Teachings of the Moors to the Moor Science Temple Fourth Teachings, which was a tape in which that fellow Sultan Seti did 9 months prior to, in which that not one Moor challenged him at that time period.
Mm.
And if they did, they did not bring it before Sarnetta or fellow Sultan Seti, from my knowledge. But Sarnetta asked me, would I challenge him? And, of course, as being a son of the Gorilla of Light, I had no problem with doing so because it wasn't about him. It was never a debate as far as I was concerned. It was simply dissemination of information in order to teach those who were there who may not have learned or heard of the Moors and show them in history, not in just recent history of a 16-year span of 1913 through 1920. Nine, not just that 16-year span, but to show in history in various other books, because there's not many books that was written on Prophet Noble Dry Lee at that time period. The only book in which that was written, books at that time, was the book by Timothy Dingle Ill, The Resurrection of the Moorish Science of America. Dr. York's book, in which that he had out by when he was Imam Issa, out of Brooklyn, New York at the time, in which that was called Noble Dwali. Who is Noble Dwali? That was the first book in which that many of us got a glimpse of the teachings of Prophet Noble Dwali at a national level, was from that particular book. And that was back in the late 1980s. All right? It was around 1988-89. And that's when the Moor Science Temple of America began to start coming out more and start meeting with the brothers and sisters in that regard, at least, you know, within my territorial area at that time, which was near Lumberton, North Carolina, and I was living in Fayetteville, North Carolina at that particular time period. Now, when they began to come out, they began to reveal to us the Moorish literature, the 101, the Holy Quran, Chapter 7. So we got the information coming from them, but it was based on the release of the book from Dr. York, who was known to be my niece at that particular time period. At that time, not many knew of Prophet Noble Ali to the magnitude of which had taken place due to brothers such as Hakeem H.Y. Bey, who was one of the brothers who, in the early 1990s, began to reveal more information coming from the more scientific perspective, information as well as also the historical perspective, teaching about Prophet Noble Ali openly and getting this information out to the masses. So he was actually the gateway for many who was listening and paying attention and buying the DVD, well, not even DVD, but buying it on VHS tapes at that time. All right, later on becomes DVDs after 2003, of course. But during that time period, he was putting out phenomenal amounts of information, so much so, till Dr. York went back, he was known as Imamita, or became known as Rabbi Yahshua. He went back and started getting more into the Moorish information. All right? And you know that Hakeem had gone through various schools. He was also a Grand Sheikh under Supreme Grand Sheikh Braswell Bey at one time. And prior to that, he was also a Great Seal member of the Great Seal National Association of Moorish Affairs, who actually, a lot of the information began to become released from the Moorish Scientific of America through them. You had brothers such as Brother Sharif Bey, who came through that particular information with School of Thought, myself, Queen Valahara, Taj Tyreek Bey, and many others who came through the Great Seal, National Association of Moorish Affairs. And that information for those individuals, you know, we, you know, was able to disseminate the information out to the public over the last 10, 15 years and more. But the venue was opened by way of Hakeem Bey, mostly because of the information in which that was on the VHS tapes during that time period, during the early to mid-1990s. And what I'm saying is that it becomes apparent that when you read the prophecies or the oral statements and prophecies of Prophet Noble Drew Ali, he states that the Moors were coming to their own by the year 2000. That was talking about these sons of the Revealers of Light who began to start concentrating on what they're supposed to be doing, and that's the resurrection or the upliftment of fallen humanity. And it simply says that we shall teach these sons, these rules of light, that they must have the light before they can reveal the light. So simply meaning that we had to have gone through various teaching schools, initiations, entered into the death chamber, or whatever the case may be, at various levels, in and out the temple structure in order to try to come to some consensus on the information in which that might soon be brought to the people. You know, we, of course, I'm pretty sure, just like many others, I know for myself, I didn't know where this information was taking me. I just simply knew that I was, that I loved studying it, and that it was about my actual soul salvation, because I understood the principles of that. This wasn't just about a man from 2,000 years ago, white or black. And of course, you know, many want to debate on that. I simply state that it is a symbol, just like it states here, that Jesus symbolizes justice. You know, we know that. You can read that within your teachings, within the 36, within the 36 verse of question and answer, when it states, you know, 101, what does the name Jesus mean? Jesus means justice. All right? 37, did the angels give the child that was called Jesus a holy name? The answer is yes, but it cannot be used by those who are slaves to sin. The reason why is because we just read what his name was in the 13th verse of chapter 2 of the Education of Mary and Elizabeth in Zoan, Egypt. It says, and age has passed, which is the Piscean age, and the gate unto another age flies open at the age touched of time, which is the Aquarius age, the age of Heru within the ancient Hermetic teaching. This is the preparation age of soul, hence the awakened soul, because Heru symbolizes the awakened soul. The kingdom of Emmanuel, who is Emmanuel? In the book of Isaiah, it states that Emmanuel would be the name in which that would be given to the Prince of Peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and Emmanuel means Allah in man. That's what Emmanuel means. Now, the word Emmanuel, when you break it down, actually means Amen Ra. Iman is the word Amen. El is Ra. So Amen Ra, Amen Re, is the name, is actually the name of Jesus. So hence, Jesus symbolized Amen Ra, which is another name of Heru, which is symbolic to the soul. The word Amen means hidden. Ra means light. So the hidden light. So here it is. The light in which that is hidden within you, which is your soul, must be revealed. So here it is. We call these sons revealers of light. But they must have the light before they can reveal the light. So you
exactly
must have this whole principle in order to bring forth the light in which that is hidden within you. What is the soul lack? Based on Descartes, a French philosopher, the soul is embedded inside of the pineal gland. The pineal gland is the seat of the soul. So it's right in your head. And how we know this? Because when you go to sleep at night, you have these two physical eyes closed, but yet there's an eye in which that is still shining bright, in which that give you access to everything in which that you can, in which that reflects what you see here on this realm, third dimension, in which that you can see, touch, taste, smell, and hear. You can do the exact same thing there on that realm, which is known as the astral plane or the plane of force, or what is also referred to the lower aspect of the astral plane, the plane of force, or the ethereal plane. Now, you know that the teaching speaks on, if you go to the creation and the fall of man in chapter 1, it speaks about this plane or these planes, all right? It's a matter of fact, for those who doubt what I'm saying, is right in the first paragraph. It says, but man himself is not the body, nor the soul. He is a spirit and part of Allah. Creator faith gave to man, true spirit man, a soul that he might function on the plane of soul. Give him a body of flesh that he may function on the plane of things may manifest. There it is. There it is. So the astral plane, or what is known as, in this particular, the soul plane, or the plane of soul, symbolizes that particular aspect, and that's when you go to sleep at night, or the dream world, as you refer to it as. And of course, there's different levels of that particular dream world, or different levels. There's 7 astral levels. This here, you're in the most dense astral level, which is the physical plane, all right, which is the plane of manifest, in which that is the plane of things made manifest, spoken of here. Then you have the inferior plane, which is the plane of force. Then you have the astral plane, which is also the emotional plane. Then you have the mental plane, the cultural plane, the spiritual plane, and then the soul plane. And these are the various planes. And it goes on and it says, why did Creator Satan give the spirit man a soul that he may function on this plane of soul? Why did Creator Satan give the soul a body of flesh that he may function on the plane of things that are made manifest? So here now, ye cherubim and ye seraphim, ye angels and ye men. Now, what is an angel? Because cherubims and seraphims are angels. An angel, based on what we have studied in the Holy Quran, Chapter 7, is what is also within our 101s and 102s. We know what an angel is. You go to verse 38, or question 38. What is an angel? Question, answer. An angel is a thought of Allah manifested in human flesh. Once again, what is an angel? An angel is a thought of Allah manifested in flesh. So you have a prophet also, which is a thought of Allah manifested in flesh. And then you also have man, which is a thought of Allah manifested in flesh. So you have three different levels. You have man, prophet, angel, all thoughts of Allah manifested in flesh. So that means that there's degrees, three degrees in particular, man, prophet, angel. These degrees are shown to you through the experience or the degree work or the initiation of Jesus, in which that you have the seven degrees of his tutelage or his schooling, or when he went into the various temples throughout the various lands. Now we know the reason why he did this is because if you go to know thyself and thy father, God Allah, it says the genealogy of Jesus was 18 years of the events, life, work, and teachings in India, Europe, and Africa. These events occurred because he was 30 years of age. These secret lessons are for all those who love Jesus and desire to know about his life, work, and teaching. Right? Come down to the last paragraph. Is the lesson of this pamphlet are not for sale, but for the sake of humanity. As I am a prophet and a servant, is worthy of his highest, and you can receive this pamphlet at expense. The reason these lessons have not been known is because the Muslims of India, Egypt, and Palestine had these secrets and kept them back from the outside world, and when the time appointed by Allah, they loosened the keys and freed these secrets. And for the first time in ages, have these secrets been delivered into the hands of the Muslims of America. All authority and rights of publishing of this pamphlet of 1927. So this information was hidden from us, even though it comes from the various lands where we once dwelled, India, Egypt, Palestine, etc. So it appears that during the 18 years of the events of the genealogy of Jesus, his life, works, and events, teachings, he went into India, into Africa, into Europe, and these different places in order to get the keys for us. And of course, we understand that when you read in the scripture that Jesus went into hell, he went into hell and loosened the keys from Satan over death, all right, over hell and over death. That's what is stated within the scriptures. So, Egypt always was symbolic to, especially lower Egypt, was always symbolic to represent the lower self. Upper Egypt was symbolic to the higher self. But normally, when they speak of Egypt, they just refer to Egypt in the sense of the lower self aspect. But yet, it is Egypt where all of the prophets have gone. So, it's not something negative in that sense, because in your teaching in the third chapter, it basically tells you in the Lahu lesson, the unity of life, this is what it reads. These are two selves, the higher self and lower self. It's the six verse. The higher self is the human, spirit, clothed with soul, made in the form of the law. Seven, the lower self is called the self, the body of desires, and the reflection of the higher self is distorted by the most ethers of the flesh. So actually, when you go to sleep at night, is when you actually become released from the body, and you're made in the form of the law. However, when you're in your body, in other words, when you're consciously in your body, you're in the carnal self, which is the body of desire, so you must eat, sleep, go to work, you must hear, touch, taste, smell, these types of things, and this is nothing but a reflection of the higher self, distorted by the multi-ether of the flesh. So the flesh itself is ether, as I made mention of, and the astral energy. But it also goes that the higher self is the embodiment of truth. The lower self is truth reversed, and so is falsehood manifest. The higher self is justice, mercy, love, and right. The lower self is what higher self is not. That's the same verse. The 11th verse is that the lower self breathes, hates, slander, is murder, and theft, and everything that harms. The higher self is mother of virtues and the harmonies of life. Of course, you know when that is within our lesson, within the 101. That consistency is within around the 65th question, in which that it says, what is the devil sometimes called? The lower self, 66. How many sons are there? Two. 67. Manger. Higher self, lower self. 68. What people represent the higher self? The angels who protect the holy city of Mecca. 69. What people represent the lower self? Those who were cast out of the holy city. And those who accepted their teaching. 70. What is the higher self? The higher self is the mother of virtues, the harmonies of life, and bring just most love and right. 71. Can the higher self pass away? No. 72. Why? Because it is a law in man. 73. What does the lower self breed? Hatred, slander, lewdness, murder, theft, and everything that harms. So, you know that portion of this particular lesson from the 31st chapter 7 is taught within the 101. Now, it goes on to say within the 12th verse of the Holy Quran, chapter 7, that the lower self is rich in promise, but poor in blessedness and peace. It offers pleasure, joy, and satisfying gain, but gives unrest, misery, and death. And of course, that is the science of life, dealing with sex itself. Nowadays, sex may seem pleasurable, but at the same time, it can bring forth unrest, misery, and even death. All right? Because that is the function of the lower self, is the brain of the self here into this plane of existence. Now, this is most important. Fourth thing, if you will actually want to study, I would say yourself, and you will have studied them, and then you will ask what to study next, I will apply yourself. Now, 15, check this out. This is the most important part right here. He who knows well his lower self knows the illusions of the world, knows of the things that passed away, and he knows his higher self, knows Allah, knows well the things that cannot pass away. So, you're not supposed to run from your lower self in that particular sense, but you are supposed to murder those particular attributes of your lower self, which, of course, which is hatred, slander, weakness, murder, theft, and everything that harms. You must murder that aspect of yourself. And, of course, we know that because you can find that in the justice lesson 1 through 14 of the student enrollment of the Nation of Islam and also of the 120 lessons of the Nation of Gods and Earths, where it specifically speaks about the four devils. And the four devils symbolize as the four lower chakras, the base or root chakra, the navel chakra, your solar plexus, and your heart chakra. Those are the four devils. That's what is known as your mortal body. Those are the bodies in which that dies along with your physical body, and they dissipate just like the physical body do after time. It decomposes. Now, let's talk about the decomposing process, because it's the breath of life in which that holds your physical composition together. It's the breath of life in which that is released, which is known as the holy breath upon death, in which that rigor mortis, and which is your body begins to start decomposing after that. Okay? So the difference between a living being and a dead being is simply the breath of life, in which they have tested the physical body. All right, scientists have taken a person prior to death and right at death and seen that there was a fluctuation in weight loss. 70 grams of weight is missing. We come to realize that the 70 grams in which that is missing is the vaporized breath, known as the holy breath, in which that once was in the physical body but has now been released. This is why upon coming into the physical plane, you take an inhalation, you inhale, and this is when the child starts crying or whatever the case is. But as you exit this plane, you take a big exhale or exhalation. So there's a release at that point. When you inhale, the soul embeds itself inside of the pineal gland, anchors itself into the pineal gland, which is within the head area, upon the exhalation process of coming here. But upon the releasing, the soul is released. And how we know that? Because there's a soft spot upon the child's head for the first 7 years of his life. And it don't get hard until after the 7 years. So it symbolizes that that is where the soul embeds itself at, or comes down into the body. All right, is into the head area. So we want to talk about that. Anything you want to build on about anything I'm saying on Grand Sheik before we go any further?
Yes. I like the way you broke down the Amun-Ra, meaning Amun, as we know, means hidden, and Ra is the sun, or the light of the sun, the hidden light. Also, in this chapter 2, where it says here, a mighty work is theirs. The carnal men want not the light. They love the dark. And when the light shines in the dark, they comprehend it not. And
exactly.
That is true. It is true, because a lot of them, they want knowledge, which is the light, And when they receive it, they don't even want to comprehend it, because it takes away a lot of things that they're off into and that they want to hold on to dearly, and which is
right.
Of the world and the lower self.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It says, we call these sons revealers of the light, but they must have the light before they can receive the light, meaning that before you know the knowledge or before you teach it, you have to receive it first. You cannot teach what you have not received. You know.
Now the question is, how do you receive it? And see, the answer is, as it states, through the Holy Ghost. Many think that it comes through you reading or just books,
mm-hmm.
But what happened, what people don't realize is that when you breathe, your breath slows down. The average
mm-hmm.
person breathes 18 breaths a minute. However, when you go into a deeper level of consciousness, such as when you read, your breath slows down to 9 breaths a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So that means is at that point where you're able to begin to, that concentration of focus that you're added into. So therefore, when you are studying, you're able to take in more information because your breath is slowed down. This is what people don't understand, is that you don't receive information just by reading. It comes through first slowing your breath, utilizing the holy breath. And then that gives you the focus or concentration that is needed in order to comprehend what you're studying, understand what you're studying, gaining that wisdom and that knowledge from what you're studying. And remember, we just been reading that the most important thing that you can study is yourself. Once
exactly.
again, it says, 14 verse, if you would ask me what to study, I would say yourselves. and you will
exactly.
have studied them. And then would ask me what to study next. I would reply, yourselves.
Exactly.
The first sentence in the Holy Quran, Circle 7, when you open it up, after you get past the Holy Quran of the Moorish Science Temple of America, or the Moorish Holy Temple of Science of the world, it says, know thyself and Allah. Know thyself and Allah. So, that is the key, is to know thyself. But how do you know yourself? It only comes through the Holy Breath.
The Holy Breath. That
right.
that should come through the breathing exercise.
Exactly. Exactly. It don't
yeah.
come through just reading a book. It don't
All
come
right.
through just wanting to debate or so forth ego or mental masturbate. It don't
exactly.
come through. It comes through the breath work.
Yeah.
Hence, the word breath work within Qigong, that's what the word Qigong means. It means breath work. Or cultivating your life force. Your life force is your breath, the holy breath.
The holy breath. Yeah.
That is your life force, brother. Without it, are you alive?
No.
Exactly. So let's use the example. A person go without 40 days. First, we go without water 2 weeks. We'll go without the breath under 6 minutes. You out of here. All right? So, the breath is the most important thing. Not food, not water. Because if you understood how to breathe, you actually could receive your food from the cosmic rays of the sun as a melanated being. You would also be able to breathe in the vapor molecules or water molecules of the atmosphere and fill yourself up. Okay? So the water and the food are secondary. You can do everything through the breath itself. And I'm not mm-hmm. telling anyone to practice these types of things, go to the extreme. I'm not talking about extremism here. I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
common sense. We're talking about the Holy
yeah.
Spirit. Because many don't teach this properly, and many are out there believing that you don't have to practice the science of breath in any shape, form, or fashion, and that they can just bypass
well.
Those exercises or those particular teachings. When it says right here that is what restores harmony and peace.
Mm-hmm.
That is what unites man back with the law. It's the Holy Breath. The Holy Breath is the mediator. Jesus symbolizes the Holy Breath. His name is Yahshua, which means, O he who saves, or O Savior. Yahushua, or Yahushua, or Hoshua, within Hebrew and Aramaic, means Oh, he who saves or savior. Now, you go back to the ancient Kemetic teachings and where the word shu comes from, it means the breath of life within the ancient Kemetic teachings or on the walls of ancient Egypt or the Metrometa. It means, once again, the breath of life. Shu symbolizes the personification of air. He was the first begotten and the only begotten son of Atum Re, who was known as God. This is a form of Amen-Ra, or Amen-Re, which is a form of Ptah-Ra, or Ptah-Re, which is a form of Asar, which is also a form of Heru. All of these are nothing more than the various stages of your soul. Your soul is hidden within you, which I cannot see your soul, but I know there's a force in which that is moving you. But I can physically see you move, touch, taste, smell, those different types of things or those attributes. So there's a hidden force within you, and that is Amun-Ra. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the amazing thing is that people don't understand is that Amun-Ra, other name is Ur-Ra, which is the great light. All right? The word
yeah.
Ur means great within ancient Kemetic teachings or Metsumetsu. The word Ur means great, and Ra means light or atomic light or energy. Now, the great light, which is the word Earl Ra, becomes within the English transliteration, actually in Arabic, let's say in Arabic, it becomes the word Allah. Okay? So, in Arabic, it is Allah. In ancient Kemetic teaching, it is Ur Ra, which is Amun Ra. All right?
Good. Yeah.
When it moves into Asar, because that's where Amun Ra becomes, is Asar. Asar symbolizes the Lord of the perfect black, or the Lord of the underworld, symbolizes the subconscious mind. In other words, being able to tap into the subconscious mind, which is based on, once again, the principle of breath. When you slow down your breath cycle beyond 6 breaths, you tap into the subconscious mind. All right? These are conscious levels. That's what we're talking about. So this is the thing in which that people can't explain, is that why all these different names for God, because they were talking about different aspects of your soul based on the holy breath, based on the science of breathing itself. Not because it is a God that you have to worship, as you were thinking, something outside of yourself. These are aspects of yourself, Allah and man. Allah. Allah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is no coincidence that Muslims or Muslims, Sufis around the world refer to Allah as Allah. Allah. The word Allah, U-L-L-A-H. Is how it's pronounced. Allah is actually, once again, the origin of the word Ra. The L's and the R's are interchangeable in the ancient Kemetic teachings or Metumetu. So therefore, the U L L A H becomes U R R A. Okay, so
yeah.
This is what people are missing when they're dealing with this information. And we're trying to uplift fallen humanity. That's what we're supposed to be about. That's what we're supposed to be teaching. All right. So, keep going, Brother L. Do you want to go into something else that you was talking about there?
Yes. I was thinking also about the holy breath, dealing with the breathing techniques that's being taught in the more temple of science. That. What I believe that is, you know, how much it doesn't matter how much you fast or what kind of food you eat, without the holy breath, it's no good.
Right. Exactly. Because the holy breath is the only thing that unifies the people. It unifies your internal system of your lower self and higher self.
Yes.
Because by the way, that's what Jesus meant in the Bible, that only way to the Father is but by me. I'm the truth, the way, and the life.
Yes.
The only way to the Father who art in heaven, which is Patel Ra, which is your soul embedded inside of your pineal gland, is by way of the breath itself. Shoot.
Also, there are many Moors that read or call themselves studying the Circle 7 really don't understand it.
Right.
They take it as a literal, in a literal sense,
right, exactly.
But not in an esoteric sense.
Right. Now, brother, you was in the temple for quite some time,
yes.
As far as in the Moorish Temple of America, before you became a Grand Sheikh, in the Moorish
yes.
Temple of Science. What is it in which that you experienced as far as the information as far? Did you get this information as far as in there as far as explaining the holy breath? And because to me, from anything and everything which that I've seen in these teachings, the things in which that is going to save us is love, but that only come by way of the holy breath, which is the mother of virtues and the father of the universe of law.
Mm-hmm.
That is the holy breath itself. So are they teaching this information to the members in the temple? That's the question.
Absolutely not. No, sir.
Why do you think that is?
They had one brother, he was saying that he was teaching a Sunday school class, and he was saying that the Circle 7 is
is it is as it what it says in the book. There's nothing hidden about it. There's nothing mystical about it, you know. And when I heard him say that, it tells me only one thing. Either he's very naive or he has been compromised. One of the two.
Right.
And why
would you say that, brother?
Because a lot of times they ask people to raise your hand if you want to comment. Well, a lot of times I don't raise my hand, but I be picked anyway, especially by the Grand Sheik of that temple. So I stands up and I explain things about the Circle 7, like the four gates, as relating to the four seasons, the four elements of the universe, of the ethers, earth, air, fire, water. And a lot of times he stopped me in the middle of my comment. You know, a lot of them, they want to turn to something else, talk about something else. And they're dealing with themselves, or their experience last week, or their experience this week. What did they do? What did they do wrong? How they sunk to their lower self, which is all right, but that's all they talk about. They never break it down like you just did tonight and last Friday night. Never.
All right, so amazing you are talking about that, but right here in chapter 1, the creation and fall of man, it says it right here.
Now,
ye spirits of fire, of water, of earth, and air.
Yes. But then they go to talk about themselves as related to themselves. Or what they used to be like, what they used to believe when they were selling drugs, or when they was a thief.
Let's take this really back to self, because those are experiences which that occurred in their environment outside of themselves. Actually, I'm talking about what's happening inside of them. So let's look at the fire aspect, because you know that our body temperature is 98.6 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fire. Then you have a chakra within you called the solar plexus. Okay? I don't think that's a coincidence that you have a place within you called the solar plexus, and the word solar means fire. I don't think that's a coincidence. You know?
Okay.
In Latin, the word solar comes from the word soul, and it means fire or light. So I don't think that's a coincidence, brother. You know, that you have this area within you, and we know that at that particular area, there's a bundle of nerves in which that interacts with your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, all right, in which that gives you the ability in order to voluntarily and involuntarily move your muscles, the blood within your body, the plasma, everything within you happens based on your nervous system acting up the part. Hence is fire in which that burns within you.
Yeah.
Okay? You know that your thyroid glands help burn off fat and toxins and poisons and rebuild tissues. That takes fire to do. And that's coming from your thyroid and parathyroid glands.
Okay? Exactly.
Which is in the throat area. So we're talking about internal workings. If you don't know the human anatomy, then really you shouldn't be teaching as a Grand Sheik personally, because these teachings are actually about the human body.
Yes.
Because that's the only thing. I can't do anything with Moses splitting the Red Sea 4,000 years ago. I can't do nothing with Jesus walking on water 2,000 years ago. I can't do nothing with Adam selling out Eve by denying and blaming her 6,000 years ago. I can't do nothing.
That's the way they teach.
Right.
That's the way they
teach. Right. But there's nothing in which that I nor you, as a member of that temple, can do with those stories.
No.
And this is the injustice that they're doing.
Yes.
Right? Now,
I had done a lecture at Temple 75, Morris Science Temple of America Incorporated here, and I had defined what the meaning of Moor, Asiatic. I have defined a lot of things about Moore's science. And the next meeting, as the secretary, always the last minutes of the last meeting. And he revealed everybody's lecture except mine. You know, so
okay.
I believe it was a reason.
Explain that. Explain that. What you mean that they didn't review yours?
But the lecture I gave of the last meeting, of
right.
the last meeting. And
right.
they were, and you know how the secretary do in the temple, he reveals the minutes, and he would say, well, such and so spoke on this, spoke on that, but he did not mention my lecture. He mentioned everybody else's lecture, but didn't mention mine. And I'm like, it just told me something right there. I said, this is not something that they want me to speak about, and I was never asked to give a lecture again.
And what did you speak on, brother?
I spoke on Noble Juwali named Sheikh Sharif Abduwali, which a lot of them
right.
in the temple did not know. And I spoke on the meaning of Moor, what was the meaning of the fez, the tassel of the fez. That was something everybody, after the meeting, told me they never heard of a lecture like that. They never heard it, anybody, Grand Sheik or Sheik spoke like that. They never heard that before. And a lot of them have been a member of that temple almost 30 years, which I found
right.
was very, very kind of mind-boggling, you know.
Exactly.
And it just told me, and said, actually, I said, these people must be being dumbed down, or the Grand Sheiks don't know. One of the two.
Right.
And they're not. So I transferred from 75 to number 5.
Right.
And I thought maybe that may be a little better, but it was just the same. You know, I talked about Africa being here, and other Africa. I said then they. They didn't want to speak on that neither. They did when they gave the last minutes. They didn't hardly reveal. This would be a part of my speech. The rest of it, they cut it off. They didn't reveal it to the temple members.
Mm.
So it tells me a lot of the stuff that I learned from you, the Queen Mother Valara, Taj Tariq Bey. They weren't hearing it. They want here.
Right.
So,
well, the truth should be recognized no matter who it comes from or where it comes from, because truth is truth. And truth is art, you know, and truth is a law. And
uh-huh.
That's what we've been taught.
We are
taught that within the 101, you know, what truth is. And truth is what? The Holy Grail.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of truth. So a law is art. It says, what is truth? This is in the 47th question, answering question. It said, what is truth? Truth is art. 48, what is art? Art is a law. And it says, 49, can truth change? Truth cannot change or pass away. 50, what other name do we give to truth? Holy breath. So
yeah.
The holy breath, a law, and truth are one and the same. So if you don't know how to breathe properly, then you can't tell the truth.
Exactly.
If you can't breathe properly, then you don't know Allah. And you don't know
exactly.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the Wall of Evangelism, it says, know thyself and you will know God and the universe.
Yes.
That is the saying of Tahuti, in which that is written, all the wisdom of Tahuti, which is written all over the wall and the temples in ancient Kemet, ancient Egypt, Tamaray.
All right. Tahuti, that's something they never break down. Tahuti being broken down as Hermes dressed mosquitoes, and but they don't want to break down like that. They want they see the names as it is, like Jesus. They don't want to say Jesus was justice. They actually say that Jesus was an actual man that walked the earth at one time. You know, this is the way they teach.
Right, but then how can justice, love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice? Justice is the last of the five principles in which that is taught under the Moorish National Divine Movement. That's what is taught to us. Love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. Those are the five points. That's similar like the five points on the green star, on the red ground, and the black border, you know, which hence the same colors of red, black, and green. There is no difference between that as far as the colors symbolizes resurrection within ancient Kemet, Temerian and teachings.
Yeah.
But the thing is that justice is the last of those principles in which that Jesus is justice. So, when you say love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice, you're saying Jesus. It's like you breathed the breath of life upon another person. This is when you go back to the believers in the book of Acts, where it speaks about Jesus, that he came down on near the Pentecost. He breathed on his disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. So breath and spirit are synonymous. This is where we get the holy soul, the holy breath from. So the breath and the spirit are synonymous. As a matter of fact, in Webster's dictionary, you go to any dictionary, look up the word breath, you can see the word spirit. Look at the word spirit, and you'll see the word breath. They're synonymous. They're one and the same. So when people say the Holy Spirit, they're talking about the Holy Breath. And it says, what is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Breath? Based on what we just read, it is truth, and it is what? Allah.
Yes.
Well, truth is Mayat. Mayat was the daughter of Ra within the ancient Kemetic teaching. And we just broke down how Allah, actual name from Arabic. Arabic is derived from the Metronapa. About 65% of Arabic is actually derived from the Metronapa. And it states that Allah is actually Ra. And so Ra's daughter is Mayat. So they're all one and the same. Hence, when you read your teachings, which is the 101, 102, Holy Quran, Circle 7, it states, Allah is true. And what is true?
Yeah.
Holy God. So you got three different things, apparently, as you would think they are, but they're actually one and the same. All right?
Yeah.
So, this is one of the keys, you know, which is being taught to us. And many miss these points, you know, because this is what is meant by Jesus being a medium, and that the only way to the Father who art in heaven is through him, for he is the way, the truth, and the life. So the life, the Son, and the Father all symbolize the same principle, which is the life force principle. One without the other, there is no living species. There is no humanity.
Exactly.
There is no uplifting purpose. If you extract the Father from his creation, which is the soul from the body, there is no real life experience. Because they're all soulless beings on this planet. But there is not a totality. They don't know how to live in justice. They don't know how to actually reform to truth. Because they don't have the reforming principle or quality within them. That's what the soul is. The soul is the reforming quality or principle. It's the refinement principle within each and every one of us. We can refine ourselves from the low self into the higher self. And that is by way of the Holy Breath.
Yeah.
That is the refinement process. It's through the Holy Breath, in which that awakens the soul, in which that murders the lower self from that point, and the soul is fully awakened. Hence, you now become a law in man. Hence, you now have reattached yourself. Hence, now you're actually practicing real religion now. The word religion means to bind or tie back.
Yeah.
What is it binding or tying back to? The word religion is Latin, and it means the word religo. The word religo means to bind or tie back. So it's tying or binding back to your higher self, your Allah. And that's by way of your holy breath. There is no other way to do it. So people are just going to say that it's just about diet and it's just going to come through the food you eat. It's not. People think it's just going to come through the books and that you have. It's not. People think it's going to come through the words that you say. It's not. People think that it's just going to come from the actions and words that you do. It's not. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless all of these are correlated together in a holistic principle, then you have to then you have it. If you're going to do the breathing exercises, then you're going to have to focus your attention at the mental level to correct the negative thoughts. Think about positive things as you inhale and bring and attract the things that you want to yourself. That's what all this is talking about, because you're here in the plane of things of manifest. That's what we just finished reading. You're here in the plane of the things to manifest. So your purpose here is to manifest things.
Yeah.
You can't do that unless you first, you can't really do that unless you, as a melanated being, as a Moor, as an Asiatic, you can't do that unless you are able to learn and master the Holy Breath. That is the key. And when you miss this piece, and it's sad, you know, when I hear a lot of, you know, brothers teaching the Moorish information. And I think that, you know, a lot of missing the point, because anything they want to talk about is Nobodrali. Nobodrali didn't bring that, or Nobodrali. You don't know what Nobodrali was, because you wasn't there 100 years ago. Only thing you have are the items in which that is blocked. And some things have been tampered with.
Exactly.
You can't really say what was bought or what was taught. You don't have any recordings, you know, of the prophet of the Dali. You have a recording of the forerunner, Marcus Josiah Garvey, but we don't have a recording of prophet of the Dali. At least we have not yet discovered it. It has not yet been revealed.
Right.
But many want to continue debating on the proper lineage when there is no proper lineage, because Prophet Nobodrali, in his state, he chose Emilier. And then Emilier passed without having one in which that was chosen. The closest was Morris. You know, but we do not have any credentials in which that states of that particular lineage. But we do have a letter from E. Millie Hill in which that was written, in which that he talks about his experience in the death chamber or coming through the ranks as far as the various levels and becoming a supreme grand sheikh. You know?
Yeah.
So we have a letter that, so we have some type of proof. Without the proof, we can't verify who's right and who's wrong, because, and this is what brothers rather debate about, is who's right and who's wrong without the proof, instead of focusing on what is being told to us by the Holy Prophet, Nobodrali, and that's Allah in there, the Holy Breath.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my thoughts on that information, brother. What's your bill that you want to get into?
Yes, as I say, the Temple 5 here in St. Louis, a brother had stood up, and he said he wanted to change his name on his birth certificate to the Grand Sheikh. And I had told the brother, I said, well, brother, you don't want to mess with your birth certificate, because I don't know. After I said because, the grand sheet immediately cut me off.
Right.
So we ain't gonna talk about that, brother. We ain't gonna talk about that. And I said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. I just wanted to tell the brother that no. We ain't talking about that. We're not talking about that. The prophet is taking care of that already. You know, so I'm like, after the meeting was over, the grand sheet came over to me and talked to me, said, look, you know, I appreciate it if you're not talking about any of that. You know, I said, any of what? You know, the things about how the feds mean, and you know about what Asiatic means, and about brother's birth certificates.
So we're not supposed to know so here it is, we're wearing a hat called a fez, or originally a within Arabic a tarbush. We're wearing a fez or tarbush, but yet we're not supposed to know what it's meaning.
No, he didn't want me to talk on that.
He said,
don't worry about it. I got him the direction I want him to go at.
Right.
That's what he said. He got that they go in the direction where I want him to go at. You know,
right.
So
and he
I'm like,
to what direction?
Yeah, he don't want to talk about the birth certificates. And
okay. So we got one. We're not supposed to talk about it.
Right.
So
we don't talk about sovereignty.
We don't talk about sovereignty.
None of that.
Right. Well, see, that's the thing too. Number one, let's get into that, because when you look at the word sovereign, it basically is talking about originally from a king standpoint or queen or royal standpoint, such as a king, queen, prince. And how they were sovereign of the land, because they owned the land, and then the people just squatted on the land, I should say, you know, and had to pay them taxes, or what is known as ransoms, in a sense. That is shown on all of the old England movies. You know, if you see any Robin Hood or any of those English movies, you see that. You know, they always be going around taxing the hell out of people. You know. Double taxation without proper representation, as they say later on within the colonies, of the 13 colonies. But that's what was going on. You know, it was called the king's ransom, in a sense. You know, but he had to collect that king's ransom, because the Moors was, as they would say, based on, you get the book, the ancient ancient and modern regrets, by David McRitchie, right?
Yeah.
He states that the Moors were blackmailing them, and so all of these countries had to give off a tribute to us in order to just operate on the seven seas.
Yeah.
In other words, we controlled the seven seas, and they had to pay us tribute in order to operate, to move. So the Dutch, the Spaniards, the Portuguese, the Britons, the so-called United States, you know, all of them had to pay France. So all of them had to Germany. All of them had to pay the Moors tribute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is up until recently, you know. So, you know, when you're talking about that, you know, let's put that in its proper context. And when you're talking about the birth certificate, you know what happened after that. It would be silly not to study what took place, you know. So, the real sovereign, if you go also, let me say this. When you look up the definition of land, in the Black's Law Dictionary, Fourth Edition, and Laws, you will see the word Moors, M-O-O-R-S, embedded inside of the definition.
Yes.
Meaning that word Moors and land are synonymous. Right next to the word Moors is the word waters. So waters, moors, and land are synonymous. They're one and the same. So the real sovereign were the rulers of the land, hence the bays, and then the elves were symbolic to the rulers of the heavens, in which that, you know that the water, in which that, well, we found out that the reason why the water looked blue is because it's being reflected from the rays of the sun onto the sky, and the sky is blue, so therefore the water reflects that particular color.
Yeah.
This is that in Harvard, before Harvard, students, and they couldn't even get the answer. And mm-hmm. if you were in college during that same time period, and we were able to answer that question, you know, at a so-called amphibian, not an Ivy League school, you know what I'm saying, because I went to Severn State University, you know, and so we were able to answer that question, but Harvard should continue to answer that question when the professors asked him that question. I think it was in physics or quantum physics class. You know, uh-huh. things to ask, you know, so that is what is going on. So we were the rulers or the navigators of the seven seas also. So
yeah,
we ruled land and the water. So hence the real solvents were the Moors, because we were the most indigenous people on the planet Earth. And the only and really only natural people, which is indigenous, can actually mix the Moors.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they had to move away from law, real law, into colorable law. It appears to be, it looks good, you know, but it's actually just legality. It's legal. And what everything is legal may not be law.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Anything in which that is legal, it may not be law, you know. We know that by way of looking at the statutes, codes, rules, regulations, ordinances, and policies of a municipality, of a state, you know, the federal level, in which they don't correlate with the Constitution. The Constitution, based on the United States Supreme Court rulings, ruling, it states that anything in which that do not correlate to the Constitution actually is null and void.
Exactly.
Null
yes.
and void. Right. So. That's based on, you know, something of substance, common sense law, which is common law, also based on natural law, indigenous rights, as well as international law, human rights. So
mm-hmm.
these are the things in which that symbolizes real law as compared to colorable law, which is legalities or legal matters, you know, with, you know, what we call statute, code, rules, regulations, or ordinances, or policies. Those are not necessarily based on the higher aspects of international law, what is known as the laws of nations.
Right.
The laws of nations is based on mass of people coming together to form the government for the people, by the people, and of the people. There is no longer government based on that. They now have the people under the government when the people actually are above the government. So they have you thinking that you are out of law when you say that you're a sovereign brother. You know what I'm saying? So that is a work in which that nowadays is not so easily or should not be so easily thrown around, because to be really a sovereign, you must also have land ties, hence,
yeah.
by way of your nationality.
Yeah.
Okay? By way of nationality. All right? Now, how do you get land ties? Are you just, it's good that you are more, and that instantly lets you back to the land. And actually, any place in which there are more steps to fit on land, actually, and when they come together as a group, clan, tribe, nation, empire, etc., when they come together, it could be a powerful force. Matter of fact,
yes, it can.
The last,
yes.
empire,
mm-hmm.
the last empire that was here, this is what many people do not understand too, is the Olmecs. who was known in the South or the Southwestern region, Midwest area, there was the Washita. You know, we had the coming up on the Eastern Coast. We had the five civilized tribes, the Seminole, the Creek, which is the Muscogee, the Chickasaw, the Cherokee, and then you also have the Choctaw, which is also Washita. Then as they come up along the Eastern Seaboard, you have the Powhatan, you have the Lenape, you have the Benjamin Ishmael, or Ishmaelites. You have these various tribes, Montauk, the Mohawks, the Lumbees, you know, the Chohari. All of these are melanated people. All of these may be people within their own family. But they had all these particular names, because these are actually clan names or tribal names. But these were indigenous tribal names. These are not names in which that we now use now, Johnson, Jackson, you know, or, you know, all that nonsense. You know that the Cherokees at one time spoke Arabic. They spoke Arabic. A lot of their language is Arabic. You know, the Iroquois, the Algonquin, the Chickasaw, as it was also referred to as the Iroquois was also referred to, which is the Cherokee. When you study their language, they spoke a large percentage of Arabic and Hebrew and Egyptian, I'm not sure that it's in their particular language. We know that Egypt dominion stretched here into, like he was telling them, of course, they don't want to you to rebuild that, brother. They want you to know that this is North West Africa. And they don't want you to rebuild that this that the empire dominion of Egypt stretched into this arena. We know that it stretched here into what is called now the North Sea or into America or Mexico.
Yes.
We know it stretched here.
Exactly, yes.
For there's 18 temples of the Egyptians in the Grand Canyon. You can read this from an article dated 8/9/1909 in the Arizona Gazette. And it speaks about these types of things, doesn't it? In the old statements and traditions, he already stated that Moors lived up and down the Mississippi Valley.
Before the
Europeans came here. He says before the Europeans came here. So what is the debate about us being before 1913? Impossible Bajali said he was raised on the Cherokee Reservation, where he states that Moors was already here before the Europeans living up and down the Mississippi Valley or Mississippi River.
Exactly,
yeah. But Moors was living all up and down there. So, see, this doesn't make any sense for people who want to hide their indigenous shit here in their markets.
No, it don't.
To me, it's out of ignorance or either out of conspiracy, as a good brother always tell me, Brother Jelani Bay. It's either out of conspiracy or either out of ignorance. I can't say that it's ignorance, brother. So I got to say it's conspiracy. They
yeah.
don't have the people mind to just hold Africa, in which that they have a picture told us to just Africa, but not realizing that we are global people. And then when you start seeing that there's more than just part Africa, that there's Northwest Africa, that there's Central Africa, that there's South Africa, or Southwest Africa, that these are actually areas here, and that the dominion of Egypt stretched here, as we already have proven based on the Smithsonian information. They hid that information. You go there to the Grand Canyon now, and you can't go and do no excavation or no archaeological dig in that particular area. But this information should be proven right in the Holy Quran, Chapter 7. Right in Chapter 47.
Yeah.
It speaks about it. And it states, the inhabitants of Africa are the descendants of ancient Canaanites from the land of Canaan, old man Cush. Cush is Ethiopia, as we now refer to it as, or Abyssinia. And his family are the first inhabitants of Africa who came from the land of Canaan. His father, Ham, and his father, the second. Then came the word Ethiopia, which means the domestication line of the dominion of the Mecca, the first true and divine name of Africa. The dividing of the land between the father and the son. The dividing the dominion of Cush, North East, South East Africa, and Northwest and Southwest was his father's dominion of Africa. In later years, many of his brethren from Asia and the Holy Land joined them. The Moabites from the land of Moab will receive permission from the pharaohs of Egypt to settle in and inhabit Northwest Africa. Now remember, in your Holy Quran, 37, the question is asked, right? The question is asked about your nationality. In the 30th verse, it says, what was the nationality of Ruth? Ruth was a Moabite. 31, yeah. What is the name for the Moabite? Moroccan. 32, where is the Moroccan Empire? Northwest of Mexico. 33, what is the modern name for Mexico? Africa. Now look, what is this? What? Where is the Moroccan Empire? Check this out now. 32, where is the Moroccan Empire? It says Northwest of Mexico. We're talking about the Moroccan Empire. The Moroccan Empire now, brother.
Here.
Right. Hold on. Let's analyze this for a second here. You know, let's analyze. Let's go back. Verse 6, the Moabites in the land of Moab who received permission from the pharaohs of Egypt to settle and inhabit Northwest Africa. They were the founders and the true possessors of the present Moroccan Empire. With their Canaanite, Hittite, Amorite brethren who sojourned from the land of Canaan, seeking homes. Okay? What that is telling you, brother?
It's telling me that Canaan actually, the word where Canada got its name from.
Okay. That's what many say nowadays. But it goes on further, and it goes and says in 7, their dominion and inhabitation, check this out, extended from northeast and southwest Africa across, once again, across the Great Atlantic.
It's telling you right there.
Thank you. Even unto the present north, south, and central America. And also Mexico. And the Atlantic Island. Before the Great Earthquake, which caused the Great Atlantic Ocean. And brother, you have your book with you?
Yes, I do.
Read chapter 47, that 7 verse again for me.
Chapter 2? Did you want Circle 7 or the question 101?
In the Holy Quran, Circle 7. Chapter 37. Egypt, the capital. Now, it tells you right here, Egypt, the capital empire of the dominion of Africa. So go there, and let's see where this capital empire, where this empire stretched to, because it just told us where it stretched to. It says that it stretched across the Great Atlantis, even also the present North, South, and Central America, and also Mexico, and the Atlantis Islands. You know, read that again for me, brother.
What chapter it is now?
Chapter 47. Egypt, the capital empire, the dominion of Africa. I want you to read that again.
Okay,
I want you to read it.
Let me get this.
Because I'm getting ready to pull up something real quick here.
Okay, here we are. Egypt, the capital of the dominions of Africa. The inhabitants of Africa are the descendants of the ancient Canaanite from the land of Canaan.
Right.
All right. Let me turn this page here. Here we are. Okay. Verse 2. Old man, Cush and his family are the first inhabitants of Africa who came from the land of Canaan. 3. His father Ham and his family were second. Then came the word Ethiopia, which means the demarcation line of the dominion of Amexum, the first true and divine name of Africa.
All right, so many say that the oldest name is Akibalon. The word Akibalon, as I keep telling everyone, is Arabic. Arabic is not more ancient than the ancient Egyptian language, or Metsumetsu.
Okay, right.
Okay. Now, they just said that the capital of the empire of the dominion of Africa is Egypt. That's what
yes.
it states as the title, like the chapter title. Continue on, brother.
Yes. The dividing of the land between the father and the son. 4. The dominion of Cush, northeast and southeast Africa, and northwest and southwest was his father's dominion of Africa. 5. In later days, many of their brethren from Asia and the Holy Lands joined them. 6. The Moabites from the land of Moab, who received permission from the pharaohs of Egypt to settle and inhabit northwest Africa. They were the founders and are the true possessors of the present Moroccan Empire.
Now, hold on, brother. Let me read.
Okay.
Sorry, let me read this. Who's the true possessors of the of what now?
Northwest Africa.
They are the true. Go ahead.
The Moabites.
Right.
Moabites.
So they are the founders. They are the founders. Right.
Yes, sir. The
and
true possessors.
Possessors
yes, sir.
Of the present Moroccan Empire.
Yes.
Now, let's get to that right quick. In the book, check this out. You got several books to go through. All right? Now, this is for all those who study various historical aspects, such as Dr. John Henry Clark in his book, The Africans, Christopher Columbus, and the Myth of the New World. Check out what he says now. It may also be added that Amerigo Vespucci on his voyages to the Americas witnessed the Mandingos of Mali and the Songhai Empire, later identified as the Moroccan empires out in the Atlantic, returning to Africa. So where was
wow.
that? Wow.
Wow.
Excuse me. Hold up. Amerigo Vespucci, where they claimed that America get his name from, is allegedly here. So what was the Mandingos of Mali and the Songhai Empire, which was later identified as the Moroccan Empire? They was out in the Atlantic returning to Africa. So here go these quote-unquote black folks out on the waters. They was coming over here. For a long time, before the white man came.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
That's what it just said. Now, check this out. In the article, African Explorers of the New World, by Harold G. Lawrenson, this statement is made. We can now positively state that the Mandingos of Mali and the Songhai Empire and possibly other Africans crossed the Atlantic to carry on trade with the Western Hemisphere's Indians and further establishing colonies throughout the Americas. Once again, let's go back. African Explorers of the New World, Harold G. Lawrence, states, we can positively state that the Mandingos of Mali and the Songhai Empire, and possibly other Africans, crossed the Atlantic to carry on trade with the Western Hemisphere Indians and further succeeded in establishing colonies throughout the Americas. This is the second impact on America. Let's go to the first impact, brother. Because were they really Indian? Let's find out if they was really Indians or not. Let's find out. Let's look up. Let's because we know that was just a name, you know. But
exactly.
Check this out. In Sousa Economics, the history of the Pan-African trade and commerce, money and wealth, these blacks found in the Americas. This is what it says. These blacks found in the Americas. Scholars such as Ivan von Sertima, as they came before Columbus, asserts that the Egyptians, what did I say? The Egyptians and Nubians came to Mexico in the pre-Columbian period, 1200 BC. Once again, remember, we just read that Egypt, the capital empire of the Dominion of Africa, and here go Ivan von Sertima saying, and they came before Columbus, and in Sousa Economics, asserts that the Egyptians and the Nubians came to Mexico. Remember, we just read in the seventh verse that their dominion inhabitation extended from northeast and southwest America across the great Atlantis, even also the present north, south, central America, and also what? Mexico. Who went to Mexico? Remember, Egypt, the capital empire of the Dominion of Africa? And here we are having the Egyptians and the Nubians came to Mexico in the pre-Columbian period, 1200 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
That is more. Remember, they just settled in 1492. So about the 1500s, we're talking about 2700 years, almost 3,000 years.
Yes, sir.
Before Columbus, we was already here.
Exactly.
Okay. This is what it says now. It says the Nuer, the Dinkas, the Nuba, are the remnants of a once powerful Kushite empire that included Sudan, Ethiopia, Egypt, Somalia. Okay? That was actually the original Moroccan Empire, as it extended from the northeast to the northwest. All right? Here it is.
Remember, yes, sir.
Go back to the fourth verse. The dominion of Kush, northeast, southeast Africa, and northwest and southwest, was his father's dominion of Africa.
All that was Africa.
Thank you.
Yes.
Now check this out. Both the Nuba show cultural and racial characteristics that are also found in Olmec statues and sculptures. Where's the Olmec from? With the Olmec? The Olmec of the Songhai Malian Empire, which that we was talking about. Extending from the Kushite Empire, Old Man Kush, which is in the second verse. Old Man Kush and his family are the first inhabitants of Africa who came from the land of Canaan.
Yeah. Tells you right here.
Okay. Right. Now, Canaan is in a separate place. Canaan is Africa. Okay? Israel is Africa. Saudi Arabia is Africa. Okay? These are all names that became after the Berlin Conference. And that was all part of this separation and divide tactic. But
yeah.
What it says is that the culture of the Dinkas, the Nubas, the Nuer, and it says the Nubians, the Kemites, spread it to West Africa in ancient times as migration from Sudan and South Egypt occurred over a period of time when upheaval occurred. And it says the mound builders, they were dark-skinned, woolly-haired blacks who were indigenous to North America and kin to the Olmecs of South America. The Olmecs
it says the Omex and the Ouachita, Black Californian, the Yamasee, the Californium, and other pre-Columbian blacks of the Americas was part of a prehistoric trade network that began in Africa and spread worldwide over 100,000 years ago.
Wow.
And at various periods afterwards, this destroys everything that they've been trying to tell us in school, brother. Talking over dry leaves is on point. He goes further. Check this out. Lord, I'm mercy. Note that when the Empress speaks about the Empire of Washington, these like the Monya Moors, she talking about they are the descendants of the Kushites Empire, which is the Songhai Malian Empire, and the Odama Empire, which is the Moroccan Empire. They're all one and the same.
Exactly. Yes.
It's the same network. Because he says here, go to three. His father, Ham, and his family was second. Then came the word Ethiopia. And you come down, and then it says in the sixth verse, the Moabs from the land of Moab, when he received permission from the Pharaoh of Egypt to settle and inhabit Northwest Africa, and they were the founders and the true possessors of the present Moroccan Empire. So we just read how the Moroccan Empire, or those of the Moroccan Empire, set up colonies here. So they extended the empire here.
Yes.
Okay.
The proof is in the pudding.
Right. But we have Moors, and dirty Moors, to keep you baking. If Northwest Africa is talking about here,
exactly.
You don't even have to say, you can look at Mu or Pangea and see where the continents were together and that North America was on top portion of Northwest Africa. There's no doubt about that. But without it, let's say that we're not even using the word Africa, because the word Africa, for those who don't know, as we broke down last week on the show, the word Africa, the word Af, means body, house, temple. The word Ra means light, sun. The word Ka means spirit. So this is the house of the spiritual light. Right? The house of the spiritual light. All of us are Africans, and this is what is meant by we come out of Africa. Not necessarily just a place in which they found bones, but it's talking about out of you as a melanated being. The first house in which that God came down into, Allah in man. Allah in man is Africa.
Yes. Yes, sir. Most definitely.
And Africa means the temple. It means the house. The spiritual light is talking about God, essence, divine. That breath of life, that holy breath, coming down into the house to dwell inside of its temple, which is not made by man's hand. Get out of my look. All right, we're going to end it right. We're going to end it right there, brother.
Right on the money.
Right, going in the right there.
Can't miss.
But what we're going to do, we're going to do our closing prayer. We're going to turn towards the east, put up our seven ups. Allah, the Father of the universe, the Father of love, truth, peace, freedom, and justice. Allah is my protector, my guide, and my salvation by night and by day. Through his holy prophet, Noble Dwali. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to be back here next Friday, 8 p.m. For those who have not been listening, I suggest you do.
Yeah.
Especially for you calling yourself Moors or Moorish Americans, Asiatics. And remember all three branches of the schools, whether it's the Moor Science Temple of America, whether it's the Nation of Islam, whether it's the 5% is ordination guys and nurses. We all see that we are Asiatics. We may not agree on the word black, but we can all agree that we are Asiatics. So therefore,
yes,
please continue listening. Bring your friends on to listen. make this a big thing because we're trying to bring you information on which God is here to really uplift for humanity, not pigeon-toeing you into a particular thought, but explaining the various thoughts or archetypes in which that have come about, the symbolism, and decoding these things so that you can begin to start making real moves instead of all this bickering and the unification.
Yeah, right.
So this is what we want to do. And so any closing remarks, Brother L, before we go?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd like to say this was a wonderful meeting tonight, telephone conversation we had tonight. I learned a lot from you tonight, as I always do. And
right.
Like you said, anyone that's not listening, they need to listen awful bad, whether you're in the Nation of Islam or whether you're in the Prince of Masons, whatever. You need to
right.
come to the fold here, to the source. This is the source.
Right. No doubt about it, brother.
Yes, sir. This is the source. This is the light. And there's no
yeah.
other light than like this one here.
Right. We're the revealers of the light, and that's our that's what we're supposed to be doing. As revealers of the light is uplifting for humanity. That is our job. That is our mission. That is our purpose, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. For those who say that they're Moorish Americans or that they're Asiatics and they're not uplifting for humanity, then shame on them. You know, they go in the category of what Prophet Najjali spoke about as dirty Moors. Don't call them niggas, but call them dirty Moors.
Exactly.
You know, I still sometimes call them niggas, so, you know.
Well, they have it coming to them.
Right. So, you know, we ain't going to go into that, but next week, please come back and join us.
Please.
8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check us out. Islam.
Islam. Peace, love.
Peace and love, brother.
Murder Monk style. 9-9 style. You know what I'm saying? Coming at ya. That's how we do. Power politics. My fighting stance too strategic. No shadows on my kicks. Too much cheek. Horrific. Too specific. I'm coming through with jujitsu. Bone crushing, bone breaking as I get into scorpion styles with the speed of a cheetah. Hit your pressure points with light skills. I'll be the blaster. Iron palms is elemental. Combination damaging nations in the mental. Cerebral cortex is obsolete. You die 10 times if you're trying to test me. Hey, it was master. Rhyme style disaster. Studied on the cliffs of mountains, reading scrolls. Holding it down. Iron shirt, she comes. A princess in the temple with the wrong Jung Nim. I went through torture. Deadly styles, I'm the author. Ingested metal, yeah, they make me supernova. Triple spinning kicks, side kicks, and hook kicks. They come a chiller, so you must be master killer. It's our fool, change my style, change the weather. It's our fool, change your mind, guess too clever. It's our fool, all the weak styles I sever. Combining 2 styles on the mic with master killer. It's our fool, change my style, change the weather. It's our fool, change your mind, just too clever. It's our fool, all the weak styles I sever. Combining 2 styles on the mic with master killer.
The great ones have searched for the righteous data to show and prove and master the separation of matter. The seeing through depth, never lose conscious of self, shed a shell, keep it moving factor. Sword swing in the temple, mental state, danger chamber. Ape gang slang, Wu-Tang, train private soldiers in this rap gang. Like that Shanghai Chinky Eye chick from Bed-Style, Wing Chun from Lafayette, Stuyvesant and Malcolm X. 57 Park, it might spark, it's the heart, one blood cell, featuring Master Kill. After dark he goes, bust gun, trust none, touch one, Yun Chun, particle sun, killer bee disease, homegrown, phone from overseas, city of the seas, your eyes bleed, the weed got a red dread, like spinning roundhouse kicks to the head, he dead.
It's our fool, change my style, change the weather. It's our fool, change your mind, just too clever. It's our fool, all the weak styles I sever, combining 2 styles on the mic with master killer. It's our fool, change
Change my style, change the weather. It's our fool. Change your mind, just too clever. It's our fool. Although we styles are sever. Combining two styles on the mic with Master Killer. Thank you.